When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
Sometimes things are just a perfect fit. And one of my favorite players this entire draft process, you know, way before the 49ers selected him, defensive back Marquise Siegel from Kansas State. Now, I don't like Kansas State at all, but you do have to give them credit for decades. I mean, you can go across all the head coaches and, you know, go to their legendary head coach. Like, you got to be tough as hell to go through Kansas State. And Marquise Siegel fits that to a T. Just diverse, crazy athletic, mean, tough, aggressive. You know, whenever I was doing my 49ers, we graded 340 players, 343, I think, but whatever, before the draft. There were only about 20 that had perfect 10 out of 10 49ers fit skills. And Marquise Siegel was one of them. And, you know, I put out a tweet months before the draft where I was like, dude, this guy is a perfect 49ers fit to play free safety, strong safety, nickel, outside corner, special teams, tough, mean, versatile, loves physicality. He's just awesome. And you know, character guy, multi-team captain, won a national championship at North Dakota State in his 1 year there before he transferred to Kansas State. Off the field, his dad's favorite team is the 49ers, turns out. And the athleticism is just bananas. Wears jersey number 36, comes in number 28 on the 49ers roster countdown this year. This rookie's playing. He's got a lot of different positions. Free safety, I think, is his best fit. But with the injuries to, you know, Jair Brown's not on the PUP to start camp, so that's huge. But, man, Malik Mustafa, like, I'm telling you, it's probably too exciting, too recent for it to be like, oh, Marquise Siegel's going to start week one as a rookie. I don't see that. But I could definitely see him getting snaps and starting games. And I think the long-term answer, if the 49ers could have it their way, would be your two starting safeties would be Malik Mustafa and Marquise Siegel. Their ceiling, there is no ceiling for these players. And so Marquise Siegel, you know, the 49ers, they love 6 foot, 200-pound safeties, defensive backs, corners, nickels. Like, that's what they want. Well, Marquise Siegel, 5'11", 199. Fits it to a T. Now, shorter arms, that was a negative. 30-inch arms, that's not good. 22 years old, but one of the fastest players at the combine, period. Goes out there and runs a 4.37, top 91 percentile of all defensive backs. And probably the most, like, glamorous thing is dude ran a 1.50 10-yard split. So that is elite of elite of elite. For wide receivers, running backs, corner, doesn't matter. His short area burst is off of the charts. Now, David Lombardi put this out there. He hit 15.13 miles per hour by the 5-yard mark. That was the best of any player that ran a 40 at the combine, any position this year. So I think they had like 400 players. He was the fastest in that short area burst, and that translates on tape. Now, I was shocked when he ran a 4.37, and, you know, I remember putting out there, like, when we were doing our draft profiles before the combine, I was like, man, if this guy can get anywhere to 4.4, I want him. I want him. He goes out and runs a 4.37. 38-inch vertical, elite. 10-10 broad jump, elite. 18 bench press reps, elite. The athleticism just permeates everything that Marquise Siegel is. Listen to these draft comps from mockdraftable.com whenever you enter in all this stuff. Javon Bullard, Jaude Barron, Marshawn Lattimore, Nick Cross, Alante Taylor, Jacob Parrish, probably my favorite player of the draft this year, and Da'Darian Taylor Demersian, who out of Texas Tech was the most athletic center last year. So elite territory. And a lot of the guys, like, not even safeties. This dude could play corner. I think you start him at safety and allow him to work his way up. But if you were in a pinch, dude could play nickel. He played outside corner. He started outside corner opposite Jacob Parrish at K-State. So when John Lynch, when they drafted him, John Lynch said, quote, "Siegel, he's awesome. We love guys who can, first of all," and then he got a little off topic and talked about himself. "He's a bow-legged safety, and like I told him, he can't go wrong with the bow-legged safety." That's John Lynch's bow-legged safety, right? Continuing with the quote. "So he's played nickel. He's a guy who can really run. I never knew watching him on the field. I knew it was fast. I didn't see 4.3. And this guy, that is a blazing time. Got a lot of versatility to his game. He's a good tackler. He eats up." We talk a lot. A term we use is taking the grass. And this is a guy who takes the fight to the ball carrier, to the receiver. I think he's going to be really good fit for us. End quote. Like, okay, eating up the grass. Don't wait. Don't catch, right? Akello Witherspoon, don't do that. Go attack. Diamador Lenore. Like, go hit Renardo Green. These defensive backs, Malik Mustafa is probably the best at it, maybe in the NFL. I know he's only played 1 year, but don't wait. We're going after it, and we're going to make a play. You see that in Marquise Siegel's tape. From outside corner, you see it. From slot, you see it. From free safety, you see it. From strong safety, you see it. Like, it translates across everything. An Omaha, Nebraska kid, and his dad, Calvin, his favorite team's the Niners. Being a, yeah, Roger Craig. Come on, man. Let's go. Let's go. There's a lot more than just him. I mean, shoot, 44. Let's go. There's so many. So Omaha North High School, and then he commits to North Dakota State, was there for a few years, won a national championship there, then transfers to K-State. Played football, ran track, has four siblings, was unranked out of high school, kind of a late bloomer. That's why he signed with North Dakota State. And then transferred as a three-star transfer to K-State. Voted team captain twice. He was a MUFC all-newcomer in 2021. That was with North Dakota State the first year he got a start. Business administration major. And, man, like, you look at Daniel Bullocks, the 49ers safety coach on Siegel, quote, "has Jimmy Ward versatility and high football IQ," end quote. What else do you want to hear? Everybody keeps comparing this kid to Jimmy Ward, even though he's a fifth-round pick. Jimmy Ward, first-round pick, but you see the build, right? Like, the build, the athleticism, the speed, the versatility, the IQ. Siegel's got that in spades, and that's what made Jimmy Ward so special. And shoot, still special. Dude's still playing in the NFL, just not for the Niners. The 49ers drafted Marquise Siegel in the fifth round, pick 160, by far one of the best value picks. And, I mean, he's making this roster, no doubt about it. George Odom just got released, like, there's fifth rounders make rosters. And Robert Saleh, whenever he was asked about drafting Siegel, said, quote, "The board fell our way from a defensive standpoint. There were a lot of guys on offense that were graded higher that the offense was excited to go get, but they all got pulled off the board, all the offensive guys." Back to Robert Saleh. "I was standing in the back of the room saying, hey, I got a guy," end quote. Like, man, you know, you go defense so heavy early in the draft. I mean, shoot, the first four picks, all defense, right? Defensive tackle, linebacker. Then you're going nickel corner and Upton Stout. Like, first four picks. Well, then the offense starts getting their guys. And, you know, Robert Saleh understands we got the first four picks. But all the offensive guys got picked. And Robert Saleh is sitting there saying, hey, I got a guy. I got a guy. That's Marquise, like, that's exactly what I see with Marquise Siegel. Like, this is a guy. Where did he slot value-wise in the draft? Well, you got him in the fifth round. Maybe it wasn't the plan, but I'm telling you, this kid just checks every damn box. Every box that you got. Our initial draft write-up before the Niners drafted him, elite speed and acceleration, no injury history, nickel, free safety versatility, athletic and decent size, has many routes to landing on an NFL team, huge locker room leadership guy, just freaking awesome. Run defense grade 85.2. Come on. Acceleration 10, speed 10, versatility 10. Experience, I put him at a 7, 49ers fit scale, 10 out of 10. You haven't seen the elite highlights. He's got three interceptions this past year, but like, man, if he can just carve out a role and figure out where he fits play-wise, give him a position, let him learn it, he's going to be awesome in special teams, by the way. Like, there's just so much that he can bring. Who was the last 4-4 free safety the 49ers had? Jimmy Ward, like sideline to sideline play. Niners have not had that in a very long time. They keep drafting these slow 4-6, 4-7 safeties, and some of them panned out, no doubt about it, with Talanoa Hufanga and whatever else, but like, you have not had a true speed safety. Tayshawn Gibson, you know, 10 plus years in his career wasn't a 4-4 guy, and like, you can make do because the IQ and the awareness. Man, let's get some raw traits back there, and I think that's what Marquise Siegel brings and why I'm so excited. For what he is, and just what he can do. Now, college career, 1,800 snaps, solid, 137 tackles, 14% missed tackle rate. Little, you'd like that to be better. From a safety spot, it's not awful, but you want it to be better. One sack, 7 career interceptions, 16 pass breakups. You do like that. Allowed a 50% completion percentage, you'd like that to be better, but you're starting him at safety, not nickel. 4 penalties in his career, played in 48 games, started 25 games. Now, he played mostly slot, but also played outside corner. 83% of his snaps in college at cornerback position. Only 17% were at a true safety, but you put your athletes in college at corner. The NFL, a lot of those guys transition to safety. We'll see. I'm excited to see where Marquise Siegel is going to line up. I really hope it's safety and just like, don't do what you did with Tarvarius Moore, where you have this freak athletic speed safety and then move him to corner and waste 2 years. Put him at safety. Put him at safety right now. You drafted a third round pick ahead of him, Upton Stout at nickel. Let him be nickel. Allow Marquise Siegel to play safety. Please, please, please. Now, eventually, I could see Siegel kind of being that guy that is the free safety next to Malik Mustafa. But I think early on, special teams and being that dime safety, that third safety, just like what they eventually did with Tarvarius Moore, the 2019 Super Bowl run, where, hey, against some of these pass happy teams, we're going to run 3 safeties. We're going to have 1 linebacker out there. That's going to be Fred Warner, the greatest coverage linebacker in NFL history. And we're going to have 3 safeties. Like, speed, versatility, and just coverage. Oh, man, that would make me so happy. That the amount of moves that Marquise Siegel can make this roster, it's awesome. Special teams, slot, free safety, nickel safety, dime safety. He's just everywhere. And, you know, we've talked about the Jimmy Ward semblance. Jimmy Ward, 193, 31-inch arms, 4.47 speed, 1.56 10-yard split. Marquise Siegel, 199. Arms, 30 inches, 7 3/4, right? So 3/4 arms, so 1/4 inch arm shorter. 4.37 speed, a full tenth faster than Jimmy Ward, who was a first-round pick, and 2/10ths or 2/100ths faster in the 10-yard, you know, burst. I just, man, come on. I'm telling you, this dude is so much fun. Give him some time. I don't think he starts early with the veteran presence of Richie Grant and Jason Pinnock, but this guy is who you want to be your starting safety eventually. Shout out to Ben, who did a great job writing this episode and by far one of my favorite 49ers draft picks, and I cannot wait to see Marquise Siegel out there lining up, doing his thing. Jersey number 36. Come on now. Safety wearing 36. We've seen it before. I hope he freaking dominates. That's awesome. Hopefully you enjoyed this. And for us and the 49ers Rush team, keep counting them down.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, Tick Pick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. Tick Pick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the Tick Pick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the Tick Pick app or tickpick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Doesn't matter where you start. It matters what you do with the opportunity once you get it, no matter how small. And number 27 on our 49ers roster countdown for 2025, undrafted free agent last year, defensive tackle Evan Anderson is the second largest riser, up 29 spots from last year. Such a huge jump. He was 56th last year. Now he's all the way up to 27. He tied with Ben Bartsch for the largest second largest jump. Sam O was number one, dropping all the way from the 80s, you know, jumping up. So Evan Anderson is a player that, look, if this was a true meritocracy, he would be a starter this year. If I had it my way, now I know the 49ers coaches know more than I do. They're around more than I do. But based off of the tape and the consistency, which I value very, very much, Evan Anderson and Alfred Collins should probably be the two starters at the defensive tackle spot. Not going to be that way. It's not going to go that way. But I just love players that do their damn job every single play. You might not get the splash plays that you would from a Jordan Elliott, but man, good Lord, Evan Anderson just, he was in last year, like I was so high on this kid last year. He was our highest ranked undrafted free agent on our, you know, countdown last year. We had him 56. We had him ranked over two rookies. We had him ranked over Jared Kingston and Tatum Bethune, which he obviously outplayed both of those. Kingston's no longer on the roster. But, man, the impact that he was able to come in and make was just impressive. Just an absolute stud run stuffer that can provide push up the middle and pass rush. Not much more than that. He has not very much wiggle. But dude's just a behemoth. Changed his number this year. He was 66 last season. Now he's going to be 55. 6'1", 320. Big old boy. 32 3/8 inch arms. He's 23 years old, which he is tied for second youngest defensive tackle in our room. Sebastian Valdez, the undrafted free agent this year, is the youngest at 22 years old. CJ West, Alfred Collins, and Evan Anderson all tied 23 years old. So, man, you went from having one of the oldest defensive tackle rooms in the NFL to by far one of the youngest, because Evan Anderson's not going anywhere. CJ West, not going anywhere. Collins, not going anywhere. Who knows about Sebastian Valdez, you know? But you have three 23-year-old defensive tackles that make up the core rotation of your defensive tackle room. Like, that room, it's not solidified because you don't have the depth. You need some of the back end of the roster guys to step up, but you have these three core young power run stuffers that are young. What was the 49ers motto this offseason? Get cheaper, get younger. Evan Anderson fits all of those things. All of those. Ran a 5.3 40-yard dash, 1.77 10-yard, 8.2 3-cone, not good, but 30-inch vertical, that's beyond impressive for a 320-pound guy. 8.3 broad jump, 31 bench press reps. You put his measurables in the machine, DJ Jones, slower than DJ Jones, but way stronger. Now, he doesn't have the wiggle and the slashing ability of DJ Jones, but he's got everything else. And this is an undrafted free agent that you basically got for free going into his second season that he's basically competing for a starting spot. I truly do believe that. I don't think he will be starter week one, but this is somebody whose consistency, if he takes one step up, good Lord, like, you are set. You are in wonderful hands if Evan Anderson just takes one small step forward, because he was so consistent last year. He's a West Orlando, Florida kid, went to Jones High School, stayed local, went to Florida Atlantic, three-star recruit. He was, you know, recruited by USF, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Toledo, but chose to stay in Florida, voted team captain in college, and man, third team All-ACC, second team All-Conference USA, criminal justice major. And when the 49ers went and got him, this, you know, a year ago they were spending. They're not spending anymore, but they spent $280,000 guaranteed money on this undrafted free agent, by far the highest paid UDFA last year. And, you know, Evan Anderson said, quote, "I took a pre-draft visit here, and I liked what Chris Kucerik was talking about. The history of the franchise, I wanted to go to the 49ers," end quote. Well, the 49ers wanted him too, because that salary basically guaranteed he would be on the practice squad at minimum. Now, he did get cut. He didn't make the initial 53, which I thought was stupid. I was very upset whenever we kept people like Ambry Thomas. And I don't want to go down that road. But anyway, I was very, very upset. He should not have been waived. Shanahan said, you know, when they got him back to the practice squad and activated, and, you know, he goes on and plays 12 games for you last year. Shanahan said, quote, "Fortunately, no one stole him from us," end quote. Like, we highlight the blunders of Shanahan's roster management a lot, and rightfully so. This one he got right, barely, and thankfully, man, if we did not have Evan Anderson and he was on another team, I would be so pissed off right now. But anyway, we kept him. That is a huge positive, huge positive. And, you know, Anderson met with the 49ers before the draft process. He's got a viral video once he got signed to the 49ers going into the backyard and doing a huge front flip into the pool. Like, the athleticism at 320 pounds, running a 30-inch vertical, like, that's bananas. By far one of, like, the fan favorites. Everybody fell in love with Sam O and Evan Anderson last year because the defensive line was abysmal. It was terrible. All these high-priced guys not doing what they were supposed to do, but you had these two, you know, undrafted free agent guys, Evan Anderson and Sam O, getting out there and earning spots and playing with incredible effort and just being consistent. Just such a high-reward, low-risk player that, man, this kid's going to be part of the 49ers for years to come. Like, it's just what it's going to be because he's so consistently good and has a skill set of stopping the run. What is Robert Saleh's number one priority? We got to stop the run. Force third and wrong, then get after third and long, then get after the passer. Well, Evan Anderson actually played a lot more pass rush snaps than I remember when I was going through the thing. It was about a 60-40 split, but you just had no defensive tackles. He had to stay out there. He's a run stuffer. Now, the problem, and this is a good problem to have, you have three elite big run stuffers on this defensive tackle group. Evan Anderson, CJ West, Alfred Collins, all of them elite run stuffers. Now, I do believe CJ West and Alfred Collins can transition into pass rushers much more so than Evan Anderson. They both have a lot more wiggle and length, but it is very, very obvious what the 49ers defense priority is. Stop the run early, force third and long. Evan Anderson fits into that. And yeah, two high-priced rookies, a second and a fourth rounder, get drafted ahead of them. But make no mistake, the 49ers are going to rotate. And, you know, if the 49ers only drafted one defensive tackle, yeah, Evan Anderson would have been even higher than 27. But he's still going to play a major role in moving forward. That defensive tackle room just doesn't have depth. It just doesn't. And so I think that's huge. Now, by far one of the most productive defensive tackles that we had last year. Fred Warner said this during the season, quote, "Evan has made plays every single game that he's been up. It's a testament to him, the way he worked, his confidence and his abilities and being ready for the moment when his number was called. And then he made a permanent spot on the roster." This dude started a game last year. 12 games, one start, 200, what was his total snap count? Bouncing around. Here we go. 263 defensive snaps, 324 total. So he's on special teams. And what was crazy to me is, like, he's built like a nose tackle, nose guard. But 230 of his 263 snaps were in the B gap. And this is kind of the new thing. Like, we pigeonhole these guys based on their body type, whether they're, you know, a shade, you know, over the center, you know, plugger role, or if they're the three tech slasher. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore across the NFL, to be honest with you, because used to, you put your big guy, Earl Mitchell, right? You go back to 2017 when the 49ers and Shanahan first paired up. You put your huge guy right over the center. You put your small defensive tackle in that B gap, and that three technique. It's not like that anymore. It's not in the NFL. Big guys are playing all over the place. And Evan Anderson is one of those too. So he's not just an A gap guy. He can play both. And man, majority of his snaps were in that B gap. You look at his PFF scores, not bad, not great, consistent. 60.8 defense, that's slightly above average. 59 run, 76.2 tackling, no missed tackles last year, and a 63.3 pass rush on one of the worst defensive line groups in the NFL last year. Dude was consistent as an undrafted free agent. That's why I'm saying any steps up, it's just going to be awesome. 24 tackles, 2 tackle for loss, 1 sack, 2 quarterback hits, 1 forced fumble, 6 pressures, 13 solo run stops. No missed tackles. That's huge. Like, he and Kalia Davis had basically the exact same snap count. Kalia Davis had 259, and Evan Anderson had 263 snaps. You're talking 4 snaps difference. Well, Evan Anderson tripled his production. Kalia Davis had 2 pressures, 5 solo run stops. I just went through all of Evan Anderson's. Like, tripled him in almost every single category. This dude is efficient and consistent. Stats only tell so much. One of the biggest things is whenever you're watching duo, which is like the staple of teams going against this wide nine, you know, 4-2-5 front, where you have 2 offensive linemen double both of the defensive tackles. So it's basically a 4-on-2 play, right? So 2 guys double one DT, 2 guys double the other defensive tackle, and one of those guys off the double team try to work to the linebacker. We call it inside zone, but power gap schemes, they call that duo, whatever you want to call it. There's slight variations. I don't want to jump into that here. Evan Anderson was one of the few guys last year that could stop it. Him and Kevin Givens. Malik Collins a little bit. Jordan Elliott was the worst I've ever seen do it, and probably the second worst to do it last year in very limited time. Was that huge giant contract we paid to Jordan Hargrave. So it's not just about the stats or the PFS scores. It's about team defense and helping your linebackers. When Evan Anderson's out there, he makes Fred Warner's job easier. That's why you get the quote from Fred Warner. Like, he's made plays every single game he's been up. It's a testament to him and the way he's worked. Like, he helps the linebackers. He makes team defense work. That's why it's important. Now, he's got a 1-year, $960,000 deal, which is what happens with undrafted free agents on year 2. Then year 3, they go to restricted free agent tier and all that kind of stuff, and we'll get to that process. But this is a player that I don't want to call him a vet. He's a sophomore. But with 2 rookies deemed to get a lot of snaps in C.J. West and Alfred Collins, you do have this Evan Anderson that, again, sophomore, not a true vet yet, that you can rely on, especially early. So I expect Evan Anderson's snap count to be relatively high in that first month of the season and then be a rotational guy. Personally, I want him starting next to Alfred Collins week one. The first snap out there, I want Evan Anderson and I want Alfred Collins. I want that Bravo group to be C.J. West and Jordan Elliott. Probably, I'd prefer Kevin Givens over Jordan Elliott if he's healthy. But, like, that's what it should look like. We'll have to see how training camp goes, how preseason goes, all those things. But Evan Anderson is a part of this team. He has earned more than any other defensive tackle besides Kevin Givens, who's been with the team since 2019, to get those snaps. He's earned it more than Jordan Elliott. He's earned it more than the rookies that are on there. He's earned it more than Kalia Davis. This dude is going to be a part. He just takes a little step up. Man, you could have magic with that three-headed beast on the inside. Man, that'd be fun. Oh, three young, solid quality run stuffers. Evan Anderson, second highest riser in the group this year. Can't wait to see what he's going to do. And for the 49ers rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down. Free agency was a little different this year for the 49ers. One, you lost so many guys. But you didn't really bring in a lot of, like, premium talent to compete at starting positions. Having said all those things, one of my favorite signings was the tight end Luke Farrell. Coming in number two in the tight end room, obviously George Kittle, future Hall of Famer. But Luke Farrell, he's not sexy. Like, doesn't produce a lot of stats. No touchdowns in his entire career. But the 49ers went and paid him on a three-year deal and added 4 void years to it, the new kind of standard operating procedure on contracts. But Luke Farrell comes in number 26 on our roster countdown today. And main reason why is not so much what he does, but what he allows George Kittle to do. George Kittle pass blocking 56 snaps last season. If you cut that in half or a little bit more, that's 2 to 3 more routes per game for George Kittle, which is huge as one of the most efficient pass-catching tight ends in NFL history. Plus, you look at the personnel packages for the 49ers. They dominated 11 personnel last year. That means 3 wide receiver sets because they haven't found that number two tight end since Charlie Warner left. You drafted Cam Latu, didn't work out. You drafted Braden Willis, didn't work out. Just hasn't panned out yet. Now you can go back to that 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends that Kyle Shanahan loves to help in the run game, helps in the pass game, helps in the play action game, helps wide receivers that, guess what, you know, if Brandon Ayuk's not going to be ready, if DeMarcus Robinson is going to be suspended, if, you know, I do truly do believe Ricky Pearsall is going to be fine with that hamstring, but if he does miss more time with that injury, it alleviates the wide receiver lack of depth early on in the season to allow Luke Farrell and George Kittle to be out there in 12 personnel sets to where you just got 2 wide receivers. This gives the 49ers so many options to disguise, to hide, to personnel, to go big, to focus on blocking, to help in pass protection. Luke Farrell is kind of that Swiss Army knife that helps the run and pass game completely. Now, where's jersey number 89? Big guy, 6'5", 250, 33-inch arms. He's 27 years old going into his prime. Ran a 4.8140. He's not a blazer, but 7.13 cone. Good change of direction for a big dude. 36.5-inch vertical, awesome. 9'10 broad jump. 22 bench press reps. Like, this kid is strong. Listen to the comps whenever you put his measurables into mock draftable. Kate Otten, Payne Durham, Jared Wiley, Drew Sample. I mean, Payne Durham and Jared Wiley were like 2 of my favorite draft prospects. And like, those are the comps that he brings. This all-around tight end option that is predominantly a run slash pass blocker. That's his primary. He's essentially, the extra offensive tackle. Now, he could catch the ball and he can run some routes. He's got good hands. It's just he's not dynamic in the passing game. He is a blocker. That is why he got paid. Going into his 5th season, from Ohio, went to Perry High School, and then Ohio State. You know, you go to Ohio State, he was one of, you know, the top recruits at his position. His older brother went to Ohio State as well. Sister Celeste went there as well. Like, they're an Ohio family. He was a 4-star recruit, stayed local, 4-time academic Big Ten. Awesome. You love to hear that. Human development and family studies degree. That's impressive. And was a 5th-round pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, he was picked 145 in the 2021 draft and just fulfilled his role with the Jacksonville Jaguars completely. Just made their team so solid, so complete. Hasn't been a big wide receiving threat. Again, does not have a pass reception for a touchdown. Maybe Purdy can bless him with one of those this year. But just does his damn job. Chris Forster, the 49ers offensive line coach, said, quote, "I love him. He's one of the best run-blocking tight ends I've seen in a long time," end quote. That's why you go get him. It helps out Colton McKivitz. It helps out Christian McCaffrey. Helps out Brock Purdy. Helps out George Kittle. Just helps. A glue-type guy that gives you versatility in your personnel packages, goal line packages, short yardage packages, you name it. I mean, shoot, you can go back to Brock Purdy's injury and the NFC Championship game. What was the issue? It was a tight end, too, that missed a block that got him injured. Tight end, too, is valuable in this offense, period. Had an 82.6 pass blocking grade, third amongst tight ends last year. And again, will allow Kittle to run more routes. That is huge. It would drive me insane to be third and seven, and you got George Kittle in there pass blocking instead of running a route. No, don't do that. Yeah, George Kittle in the run blocking and every now and then pass blocking, I understand, but limit those numbers. Get George Kittle out on routes. He's just too damn good. Too damn good. The 49ers signed him to a three-year, $20 million contract, $11 million in guarantees. Four void years. That cap hit is spread out big time, big time, big time. Now, the 49ers do have a potential out. If for some reason this doesn't work out, they can move on after the very first year with $3.4 million dead cap. So $6 million guaranteed this year, a little over $3.5 million next year. So that's kind of where that is. So they can get out. He also has playtime bonuses built into his contract as well. If he plays 40% of offensive snaps, he gets extra $200,000. 50% of offensive snaps, he gets extra $400,000. And if you play 60% of offensive snaps, $750,000. Also, reception bonuses. 25 catches or more, $200,000. 32 receptions, $400,000. And 40 receptions, $750,000. So he's betting on himself, and I think that's huge. When he signed with the Niners, this is what Luke Farrell had to say. Quote, "The Niners wanted to work fast. They were far and away the best opportunity as far as what they were offering. So it was, at the end of the day, kind of a no-brainer," end quote. They wanted this guy. They went quick, and he was kind of their priority one. The very first deal that they kind of signed, they wanted this done. So interesting, to say the least. Now, let's look at his NFL career. He's got 20 starts in the NFL, 66 games played, 1,100 offensive snaps, 500 special team snaps. Now, his alignment, he's played in the backfield, 30 snaps. He's inline blocker with his hand down, traditional tight end, 964. That's what he's going to be used predominantly. Out as the slot kind of wide receiver, 117. Out wide, 32 snaps. And as an extra offensive lineman in a tackle overset, 13 times. So, versatility. He missed two games his rookie year. That's it. Three straight seasons without missing a game. You look at his 4 years, 15 games, 17 games, 17 games, 17 games. Best ability, durability. Now, his career stats, 36 receptions on 47 targets. Like, not a pass-catching guy. Now, you do have to understand, he was down in Jacksonville whenever they had, you know, wide receiving tight end options. Evan Ingram, you know, he's basically like a Brock Bowers big slot guy. Like, they had that role defined. Well, the 49ers have that defined as well. So 36 catches, 318 total yards, 15 first downs, no touchdowns. Did have one fumble his rookie year, five penalties. Pass blocking beast, man. 82.6 pass blocking grade. Every year has been over 66, which is above average. And just, man, now he is coming off back-to-back years, 13 receptions in 2023, 12 receptions in 2024. I think that's kind of what you're looking at. Nothing too big. Eight starts each of those years, but he was the tight end too. Excited to see what he's going to do. And again, going from that, you know, just to put some numbers behind going from 11 personnel last year with no quality tight end two back to 21 personnel, that's huge. 21 personnel was used 35% of the time in 2023 for the 49ers. That's two tight end sets. Fell down to 20% last year. That's a huge drop. This is why Luke Farrell is important. He gets you back to those custom personnel packages where you get the extra blocking umph in the run game, helps outside zone, inside zone, helps play action, all of that. That is what's huge. So absolute lock to the roster. Luke Farrell's the tight end, too. That contract guarantees he is the number two guy. And you do have a little bit more depth for those games that George Kittle will miss. George Kittle's going to miss a game or two. It's just he plays so damn rough and so often. You can use Luke Farrell. It doesn't hurt your run game as much, but it will hurt the pass game on the routes. But still, pass protection is going to be huge. So you have a little bit more depth at a position you haven't had depth in since Charlie Warner left. That's why I think that this signing is so huge. And it comes in number 26 on the 49ers roster countdown this year. Thank you to Josh for helping write this episode. And Luke Farrell, one of the most exciting new 49ers that's not a rookie and not going to be sexy, not going to be whatever, but I'm telling you, he's going to help that offense move up and down the field and convert first downs and convert touchdowns and stop the negative plays. That's what's huge. Luke Farrell, excited to see what you can do. And for us in the 49ers rush team, we're just going to keep counting them down.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.